Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 2nd of October, recording at 9:35 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick run through the highlights of the day. The stock markets were mostly steady, certainly in Asia. Hong Kong Hang Seng Index getting big gains, the Australian Index getting big gains. Another new high by India. Indonesia hit a new high, and European markets were mostly on the upside, although gains were paired somewhat in some instances. The UK down slightly, just 5 points. Amsterdam down slightly. Few small European stock markets, very small European stock markets. Some of the Eastern Europeans hit new highs today, as did, I believe, Greece and Finland. Now, the U.S. market closed mixed to slightly easier. The Dow down 40, less than half a point on the S&P, but the NASDAQ comp was up 6. In government bonds, they were mostly steady, modest gains on the day. And the U.S. dollar, this is interesting, it rallied yesterday, having been persistently weak, and it's had some follow-through on the upside here today. The U.S. dollar index, which had hit a new low last Thursday, is currently trading at 78.30, and that's up 390 ticks. And that brings the euro down to 141.51. Sterling is little changed to 204.26, but I'd say the dollar is mostly steadier overall, only up a fraction against the yen at 115.80. And precious metals, though, got clipped in here today. They've had a wonderful run, but they certainly saw some profit-taking today. As I speak, gold, well, these are settlement prices, down 40 to 1345 on the December contract, had been as low as 1318. Gold currently down $15, and platinum first month contract was down $46 in here today. More on that in a moment. Industrial metals mixed, actually more on the upside than downside, and soft commodities mixed, but I see sugar is up a little, but the grain and bean complex is mostly a little bit easier in here today. Oil dipped down to 78.87, but then is last trading at back up above 80 at 80.32. That's the NYMEX crude price. Gasoline's been weaker, and that's back under $2 for that U.S. gasoline contract. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, stock markets, as you know, are pretty steady generally, although some are overstretched, overbought in the short term, and they would include Hong Kong, which has been on a roll since the U.S. interest rate cuts commenced, and so has India. Very, very strong. Chinese market has been overbought for quite some time. That's closed for a while now due to a holiday period. And the Asian markets generally are awfully strong, as are the resources markets. But they've done so well that it would not be surprising to see a pause in consolidation. I wouldn't be looking for anything more sinister than that. The European markets have lagged. Wall Street has done better than the European markets generally, with that new high in the Dow. But a lot of that's currency assisted. If you look at the Dow in euro terms, for instance, it has a much more gradual upward trend overall, and it's not at a new high. So, as I've said all along, that declining dollar, provided it's not turning into an obvious rout, is a tailwind for the U.S. stock market, and for two reasons. It makes export profits, or it increases export profits as overseas earnings in stronger currencies are consolidated in US dollars. And of course, it makes the US stock market cheaper for everyone else in the world due to the currency exchange rate change. But we're getting a little rally in here right now in the dollar. Interestingly, a comment I saw this morning when I was in the gym and watching, it was either Bloomberg or CNBC, a currency analyst was asked about the yen carry trade, and he made the comment that over the last 6 weeks or more, that most of the carry trade had been in the US dollar. Now, the US dollar did fall very, very sharply and went to a new all-time historic low, but is overstretched and oversold. And so there is some scope here for a short covering rally. And the fact that that forex traders who are invariably momentum driven will have not only had their short positions just because of the dollar's trend, but that other people who use the currency markets would have been using the dollar as their carry trade because it was weak and intense, and interest rates are coming down and almost certain to fall further. That leaves more scope for a self-feeding short covering rally. Certainly not enough to buy for it, as far as I'm concerned, because this is a weak currency. I've said so for really quite some time, and I can't envisage more than a technical rally. But having seen the dollar lose downside momentum, it's now in that technical rally mode until we start to see some downward dynamics once again. Now, just go back to stock markets generally for a moment. I've done a review of the bank indices today. They need to be watched very carefully. The Asian bank indices are mostly an encouraging story, particularly for Hong Kong, China, and India. The Western bank indices are a very different story. They have steadied, and they were firmer in here today, but they need to be. Again, I've said it over and over again, the banks are a crucial lead indicator, and what's bad for banks is bad for the market generally. So, really, in terms of overall health for an economy, we want to see a very firm banking sector. And we haven't seen that recently, except in the examples that I gave, China, Hong Kong, and India. But some are much worse than others. It's the U.S. and particularly the European banks and the Japanese banks that have underperformed here. Some of them going right back to highs in February, and they have improved somewhat, but any breaches of those August lows would be extremely serious, technically, in my opinion. That would be alarming. Now, the Japanese banks, which I believe had the worst performance of all as far as the indices are concerned, bank indices are concerned, actually had a weekly key reversal last week. I believe that was mentioned by Owen and myself. And they had some follow-through on the upside in here today, so that's encouraging. They may have actually bottomed, but the bottom line here overall is that we do not want to see breaches of those lows where these indices are quite near those lows. And in some instances with the European banks, we had September lows. So we do not want to see those taken out. And where the bank indices or financial indices that I reviewed have rallied, and most of them have, you can see various little support levels. For instance, where they've rallied, we do not want to see, or bulls do not want to see, last week's reaction lows taken out. And you can see those very clearly. They occurred early last week. You can see those very clearly on the charts. So this is a sector that does need to be monitored in here because although confidence has certainly improved and liquidity has certainly improved, there are the problems of disclosure that remain, and people are going to be nervous about this sector for quite some time. And it's certainly, well, I've often described it as a long convalescence candidate here. But again, deterioration by the bank indices, and most dramatically, breaches of the August September lows would certainly be, in my opinion, extremely bearish for the broader indices. Conversely, if these bank indices continue to recover, then I have little doubt that we will see more of the broader stock market indices hit new highs for the year. Now, long-dated government bonds, they're looking for a slowdown, and that means that the environment there is neutral to a slight tailwind for the equity markets. Now, when Greenspan's not Greenspan's Bernanke's 50 basis point rate cut came in, we saw bonds as stock markets roared upwards. We saw bonds come down quite sharply on some profit taking, maybe a little bit of short covering, and we've seen a little bit of money drift away from bonds and back to equities. But more recently, we have seen steadier bond action. And as you know, one of the things that would worry me a lot more would be if we got a surge in bond yields due to concern over inflationary pressures, which would be led by, well, have been led recently by food prices. Now, we do have inevitably some inflation in the pipeline. You know, I've said all along that we were in a long-term cycle of gradually increasing, erratically increasing rates of inflation. Not across the board, not in manufactured goods, or very seldom in manufactured goods, very seldom in wages, but in other items, inconveniently, a lot of those household bills that you pay, and certainly in food. And I think that food inflation is here to is here to stay. I don't think it's just a temporary phenomenon. As I mentioned before, a secular bull market in some of these food prices for the reasons described in some detail previously. Now, what about these precious metals, which took such a hit in here? Well, those were clear downward dynamics, so they have checked the upward momentum for these precious metal contracts, all four of them. And that does mean that there's a risk that we could see some follow-through on the downside. Now, as I've been discussing this with Owen, you know, we've been just throwing back and forth the question of, is this just a one-off spasm and we get stronger action for the rest of the week, or is it the beginning of a bigger and somewhat longer reactive phase? Well, nobody knows the answer to that, but I think it's about 50-50 in terms of those two possibilities. I certainly don't think it's the end of the of the bull market overall. And we've had some awfully impressive technical action in the precious metals in over the last month or more. And that's the big story, I think, an ending of the long consolidation period. So you've seen gold go to a new high. We've seen new high for the year. We've seen platinum go to a new high for the year. We've seen silver break its progression of lower rally highs. So that's impressive technical evidence overall. And reactions and consolidations are part of any market advance. And I think that's what we have seen here. Now, I'd watch silver, which is generally one of the higher beta markets. And for instance, having seen that come down to 1318, currently 1346, a decent rally tomorrow, or lack of follow-through, I should put it that way, if the precious metals are going to be subjected to further profit-taking, let alone some short-selling, then we'll see downside follow-through tomorrow. On the other hand, if we get steady action tomorrow, steadier action tomorrow and the rest of the week, then the odds will swing progressively in favor of just a one-off spasm in here. But these are the things that plague traders, or at least traders like me, who were running precious metal positions and steadily leveraging up and behind trailing stops. I had a lot of positions stopped out in here today, not all of them by any means, although all my silver was stopped was stopped out. I'll try to get all those numbers down before I complete comment of the day. I haven't been in the office all day today, so that I may need to do that update tomorrow. But that's my view on the precious metal sector. And if we have a few days of dollar rally, perhaps, and we need to see a downward dynamic by the dollar to suggest that that rally is over, and I think it's just a short covering rally. And if we have that, and if we get this sort of choppy action in the precious metals, that will inevitably spill over into a few of the other high-flying commodities, such as the grain and bean complexes we've seen today. I think that's pretty much it. So, all the best to all of you.